I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. A lot to get to on the show this Wednesday, but this morning, reflecting on the latest news from President Trump, I was reminded of Spike Lee's 1989 film, Do the Right Thing, and Radio Raheem's monologue about love and hate.
Hate. It was with this hand that Kane iced his brother. Love. These five fingers, they go straight to the soul of man.
Hate versus love. Let me start by saying that it is not either or, not if we 7 billion plus people on Earth expect to advance our species in any meaningful way. And right now, there is a sense that hate is a path. Among white supremacists, Klansmen, neo-Nazis, hate is not a path. But how do we engage positively in this atmosphere of hate? We're starting The World today with Eric Liu. He's the founder of Citizen University. It's an organization that focuses on helping people become effective, change-making citizens.
I think it all begins with looking inward, each of us, particularly those who are called white, have to look inward and actually take an inventory of what are the kinds of privilege I've got? What are the ways in which I am exempt from some of the fears and hatred that are out there? And so what is my responsibility for stepping up, stepping in, showing up and speaking out for people who are vulnerable to this kind of racism and hate and bigotry out there? And when you take that kind of inventory and you reflect on yourself honestly in a way that is about taking responsibility and not saying, well, they started it or someone else, it's someone else's problem or someone else is making it worse. Simply asking, what is my piece of this? What can I do? That's not where we end, but that's certainly where I think we've got to begin.
Yeah. So what is kind of the next step? Because surely just thinking about one's white privilege, if you're white, isn't enough.
Yeah. And by the way, if you're not white, ways in which that privilege
right,
benefits you too. But, you know, the next step after you reflect, I think, is in fact to commit to show up.
Well, there are various white nationalist rallies planned across the country in the coming days, right here in Boston on Saturday, in fact. It's billed as a free speech rally. And I know local lawmakers are pretty suspicious of what it's going to be. But people I know are wondering whether they should go and even dignify the white supremacist presence with an opposing presence. So should people go to oppose or stay away? What is the best way for people to respond?
You know, I think it actually my first instinct was that we should go. But as I've reflected on it more, Marco, I actually think we should not. I think we should collectively, those of us who oppose hate and bigotry, should collectively decide we're not going to play the game on the terms of those who are promoting hate and bigotry. And when you show up at their rallies and feed into the atmosphere of conflict and rage and fury that often can spill into violence, at the end of the day, you're only feeding their way of creating division and conflict. I think far more effective for us as peace-loving and tolerant citizens is to organize a different rally, maybe even at the same time, but in a different part of town, organize a different vigil, maybe, you know, later on or the next day, that shows on our terms in affirmative ways what it looks like to build the beloved community, what it looks like to invite the full diversity of our actual community and country, and to do that with a spirit of joyful purpose and love, creating that kind of counter presence rather than feeding the hate mongers with attention, because attention is their oxygen, is the way to go. But I think, Marco, even beyond what we do on the day of a given hate rally, I think the bigger picture is that all of us who are concerned about these kinds of rallies and actions have to be organizing each other as citizens in a whole spectrum of ways.
So you're saying there are many different ways of showing up.
There are many different ways of showing up. I mean, I think if you organize your neighbors, your family, your friends, your fellow parishioners or faithful, your believers into donating money to organizations that are combating hate, organizations that are helping young people around the country reckon with hard moral choices of dealing with history, whether it's a Nazi past or Jim Crow or other things. When you have a president who can't tell the moral difference between a George Washington and a Robert E. Lee, it makes you realize that it's worth facing history together as a community. But it also means organizing your votes and your voices to pressure lawmakers to do the right thing, to protect disfavored groups, and organizing people who have influence, teachers, preachers, coaches, mentors, in your neighborhood and your block and your community to form a phalanx of good faith here. to say we're going to be the ones actually who, in small ways, off the grid, not in these big public conflicts, are going to start the uncomfortable conversations about how we as a society face white supremacy, dismantle it, and move forward together. And I do believe it's possible in a bottom-up way.
I think a lot of people, and I think you'll agree, are angry and discouraged right now, especially after Trump came out yesterday, again blaming both sides for the violence in Charlottesville. In this climate, how optimistic are you that it's possible to achieve any sort of systemic change?
Oh, I'm very optimistic. I actually think that for all the noise and the fury of these white nationalists and neo-Nazis, theirs is the fury of a dying group, not the surge of a prevailing group. And when you have it is incredibly saddening for the republic that we have a president who was unable to find moral clarity in the days after Charlottesville. And that is both saddening and angering. But again, it's not about the president. I think what the silver lining of what's happened in the days after Charlottesville is that tens of millions of Americans are awakened. Tens of millions of Americans who previously were looking at these kinds of conflicts and issues as, quote, someone else's problem, as a fight between extremists on this side and that side, now realize, no, this is my fight. This is a fight that's really clear between those who want to coddle white supremacists and neo-Nazis and those who want to build actually an inclusive country. And that sharpening of focus for so many millions of Americans says to me that, if we can keep, creating pathways for people to show up and engage, not just on the day of the protest and the dramatic conflict on the streets, but to show up in everyday smaller ways as citizens, then I think we're going to be able to change things in the right direction.
Eric, your parents came to the U.S. from China. What did they instill in you about the values of this country, and how did you decide to pay that forward?
You know, when my parents, they were born in China, they came to the United States via Taiwan, and all I had was the dumb luck to be born here in the United States. You look at other folks who had to fight and scrap and scrape their way to get here and now live in a culture where they are under such great a great shadow of disfavorment. It is a privilege to be able to take for granted citizenship as a matter of documentation. And what it reminds us is that citizenship is a bigger, deeper thing. Forget about the documents. I'm talking about this ethical sense of, are you a member of the body? Are you a pro-social contributor to community, a non-sociopath? And citizenship in that sense is something that all of us, I think, have an opportunity and a responsibility to live out, especially in times of hate and conflict like now.
Eric Liu is the founder of Citizen University. He's also the author of You're More Powerful Than You Think, A Citizen's Guide to Making Change Happen.